Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 welcome back to the greatest show on Earth, the Man That Mindsets podcast. I am your host, Xavier, sitting with the wonderful Deanna. What's up, D? What's good?
What's up, Xavier? How you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I'm glad to be back in the studio. We ain't been here in a minute.
It's been a while.
Right? Yeah, you know, I was down. I was sick. I was down bad, man. And then you were sick. So we've been out for a minute, but we back. And today we got a super, super dope episode for y'all. But before we start, I want to advise everybody to please subscribe. Like, leave a comment, do all those things. We're trying to get those ratings up, those subscribers up, all those things. So please, please do that. We greatly appreciate it. And before you go into the show, Deanna, she's going to go to our first sponsor.
Yeah, so you guys, I just want to bring your attention to the description of this episode. If you guys haven't checked it out before, we always have super dope products listed in the description of every episode. If you go ahead and look in there now, you can see that we got DFY Commerce. Those are our friends over there, Dalton, Brandon, Tyler, who are doing their thing with the Walmart Automation Stores. We just did an episode on that. We got our real estate guide. You know, me and Xavier created that one. Has everything you need to know to purchase your very first investment property, step by step, with tons of video content. You know, we also got our crypto guide, which we talk about that all the time. Has everything you need to know to get started in crypto. And there's some great products in there too, as far as how to get started in rental cars and also how to become a VA, which is a virtual assistant. All things we've talked about on the show before. But guys, make sure you go over to the description, click on those links. There's discount codes and all type of good things to help you guys find some different ways to bring in some more income, add some more to those passive streams of income, and, you know, just run it up this year. So make sure you guys check that out.
That was dope. Appreciate that. And just getting right into the show. So today's guest, we got my guy. I can't remember what number episode it was on off the top of my head. I looked at it earlier, but it's already slipped my head. But he's back in. Because this is something that's been requested. I think the past, since we've been doing videos.
It's been a lot.
This probably been like our most requested topic is vending machines. Like, everybody be like, want to know something about vending machines? I get a million comments on TikTok, people asking about vending machines. So I'm like, all right, we got to make this happen. Like, we got to get this done. And we got him back on the show. His goal is our Marcus Graham. Y'all should follow him on social media. I'm pretty sure y'all do. So welcome back to the show, bro. We super excited to have you.
Hey, thank you for having me back, man. It's a long time coming, man.
Yeah, you got a lot of value for the people. So we gonna first, let's just get right into it. So for the people who may not know you, or this may be the first time hearing of you or seeing of you, do you mind just giving some background on yourself?
Yeah. So I'm from Rochester, New York. So upstate New York, like a small city. I went to school, went to college for poli sci, finished grad school for applied behavioral analysis.
Oh, damn.
And then I went back home, couldn't find a job, was at home working, saving up money, and then took my money, moved to Philly, started a vending machine business, and it took off. Something more, you know, than I expected. It was supposed to be a side hustle, and then it kind of became this big thing that big I didn't thing. Even know was going to happen.
How you get it? Like, what was the... Like, what was the decision to say, I'm going to do vending machines?
Man, so I had a guy I used to be friends with. He had some machines. And then we were supposed to put some money together to do real estate, right? So he was like, yo, move to Philly. Let's do some real estate together. I didn't want to move to Philly because, shit, it's Philly. I ain't. Right? So I'm like, if I'm going to move from the East Coast, I want to move somewhere warm.
Right.
But then, you know, I had knew that I had outgrown my city. So I'm like, you know what, let me just go out here, put some money together with my bro and do this. So he was like, yo, grab a couple machines while we wait for the real estate. So I'm like, all right, cool. So really, I just put my money into that real quick. It was supposed to be, like I said, just a little small side hustle. And then once it started to flow, I started to fall in love with it, you know, because I realized, like, damn, I don't really got to, like, talk to people as much. You know, I don't got to worry about a lot of stuff. It's just I go in there, I stock the machine, and I go home for the most part, you know. So, yeah, it wasn't even, like, people be asking me, like, yo, man, how you know? Like, I ain't know. Damn. I didn't know. I really didn't know. I just was like, let me put some money into this. I was really focused on real estate. And I still haven't even gotten no property to this day.
That's crazy.
Just stumbled on it.
So, like, your first machine, like, where you get it from? Like how'd that go?
Oh, man. So, quick story time, man. My first machine was a shitty location. It was a bad location, right? So, you know, people, rule number one, do not buy a vending machine unless you have a place to put it. That's the one thing that people get wrong all the time, mm-hmm. and they be wanting me to help them with it, and I'll be like, I can't really help you with that, you know, because, like, if you, like, think about it, right? The goal is to make money with your machine. So if you buy a machine and you have to pay for it to be in storage, that's counterproductive. Mm-hmm. Now you're paying to have the machine when you're really supposed to have the machine for it to pay you.
To pay you.
So, and another reason you don't want to buy a machine first because you want to have your machine to be location specific, meaning that if I have a vending machine that is, let's say I buy an old beat up kind of machine and I try to put it in a luxury apartment, they're not gonna want that shit because they know that their business has value
up.
Right, you know what I'm saying? So they're not gonna want that machine. So now you got to take that machine out and go buy another one. So now you got two machines, right? Or let's say, for instance, the machine don't fit through the door. Or it don't fit in the space.
Oh, that happens sometimes?
People deliver a machine, can't get it through the door.
Wow. I never heard of that.
Right, because people don't take the measurements. You got to do that. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Like, it's a whole process that people don't really be understanding. Right? So you can't fit through the door. Let's say it's the type of machine they don't need. So, for instance, they might want one machine. They might want a half snack, a half soda, a combo machine. And then you come in with a snack machine, like, this is not what we want. You know what I'm saying? So then you got to buy the whole thing is you have to buy a whole another machine. Now you out of bread. You know, so it's like, please, let me look in the camera. Do not buy a vending machine before you have a place to put it. Rule number one. So I got my machine from a warehouse. I always advise people to get it from a warehouse because it's the most safest place you can get it. So when you buy it from a warehouse, they will, you know, test it for you. They will, you know, show you how it works, all the kind of things like that. And it's a good thing to have a, you know, relationship because if something goes wrong with the machine, they feel more inclined to help you with because, you know, you bought it from them. So it is good for that. They can deliver the machine for you. So that's why I get all of my machines from a warehouse.
Okay.
Some people can get it for Craigslist. You can get it for cheap there.
Right.
You can get it from places like OfferUp. Any place that people sell things, you can get a vending machine from. You know, so I bought mine from a warehouse. I probably spent about $4,500 total between two machines, card readers, product, delivery.
That's two machines. $4,500.
Yeah, see, the dude I got my machines from, though, he was robbing me, though. You know what I'm saying?
Cause, like, why you say that?
Because now that I mean, he cool. I'm cool with him. He's still my guy. Okay, you know what I'm saying? He's my backup. But, like, when I bought machines from him afterwards, the price was a whole lot lower.
It's different taxing. Y'all not cool.
Yeah, he was trying to. But he all cool, though. But so I put mine in the office, and that shit made me about $60 a month for, like, months.
Wow.
Right? Out of $4,500 investment.
You probably was like, man, what the?
Nah, I wasn't.
You wouldn't.
Nah, because that's the thing. Like, people, like, you know, making $1 at that shit showed me that I could make money with it. You know what I'm saying? So it didn't matter how much I made from it. I just knew, like, yo, shit, like, I can make money from this. Yeah. So all now my mind is like, now I need to just maybe change my strategy. Like, maybe I need to look for this or look for that. Because, like I said, $1 let me know money be made here. Now I just got to change how I go about it. And then I'm like, let me just use this as a learning opportunity. Let me learn all the maintenance problems that go wrong. Let me learn how to be a professional when it comes to, because now I'm a business owner.
Yep.
First time being a business owner. So it's like, I know a lot of stuff comes with that. So I used that first location to learn a whole lot of stuff. And by the time I took my machines out there, like the same week COVID hit.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, same week. I took my machines out and put it somewhere else that where it was staying there more like permanently. I went from $60 a month to like $250 a month. And that's just learning how to be professional. That's doing stuff like putting a dollar or scratch offs on the back of some of my snacks to boost sales. Like, mm-hmm. I learned a lot with that occasion. That's why, you know, when I see people give up after the first run, I'm like, man, you ain't gonna really be built for it. Because like I really believe like not taking losses and just lessons, man.
No, facts. And I like something you said. I think that spoke a lot on your mentality. Is like when you say you was making $60 a month, I think a lot of people would be discouraged to the point where it's like, well, vending machines, some bullshit. You can't make no money in that. Cause just from their experience. But you was like, that's crazy that you looked at it like, if I could make a dollar, I know I could make a lot more. Because I'd be seeing stuff the same way. I always tell people, like, if you can make, like, that's a confidence booster. Like, the fact that you're making money from something that the idea you have, it should be like, even if it's $5, that first time is like, damn.
Let me tell you how it is. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Nah, go ahead.
No, you did. I just said it's better than zero.
Yeah. I mean, like I really believe to be successful, you got to have a rational confidence in yourself. Like, you really got to, like, believe some shit that...
borderline delusional.
Delusional. Like, yeah. I'm going to tell you a quick story. Like, I moved to Philly in February 2018. Came here immediately. I invested in some shitty ass program for vending machines, and it was like, I paid like $2,800 for it. It was trash. But then, like I said, I started working at a job. I became a manager at a residential house. We're working with people that have like disabilities and things like that. So I remember being there, and all of the time I had at this time was just a logo. I had my logo and I had my business cards for my vending machine business. I didn't have no machines. I had no place to put nothing like that. But I remember going into work and they wanted me to do a whole bunch of stuff. Like, they wanted me to turn everything around. It was bad. I just remember like sitting at my desk and just taking my keys out and just putting in there, taking my badge and just quitting right on the spot. Just left in the middle of it 2 weeks in. Cause I'm like, man, listen, why am I going to sit here and be a manager at your company, working my ass off doing this when I'm the owner of my own business? Damn. Ain't have nothing, though. I didn't have nothing. But to me, I was a business owner.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You had the mentality first.
So I quit, and I focused on my job. And like 2 months later, I got my first placement. You know, so it was like that was vindication. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe so much in just seeing my name on a fucking business card that this shit was going to be something. You know, like I said, even though it started out as a side hustle, seeing my name on it.
Yeah, you the confidence.
Yeah, it just, like, I'm a visual person, you know what I'm saying? So seeing shit really helps me out. So when I seen that, all I could see was so much more after that. And like I said, I just quit. Like, I'm good. I'm a business owner. You know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, D. I see you want to say something.
No, I was just going to say, so like, even with that, like, you ain't had no moments when the confidence wavered a little bit or you thought about doubling back?
Nah, because I come from poverty. You know what I'm saying? So, like, before, like, when I moved from home, I was making, like, $15 an hour. You know what I'm saying? And I was the most money out of anybody in my family.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, I was doing, like, okay in my city in a sense. But, like, I knew I was in poverty. I knew I was poor. So, for me, when I saved my $10,000, my mindset was just like, shit, if I lose, I'm going right back to where I spent my whole life. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was playing with house money.
Yep.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I can go out here, I can blow my money, it can work out, and I'll change my family life. Or if it don't, I just go back home to where I was spent most of my life. Like, I never wavered. I never cared. I never got scared. I never got nervous. I had depression at, you know, point of time during it, you know. But, like, as far as believing, nah, man, I ain't playing with house money, man. Shit, what up? Golden opportunity for me.
Nah, fact. And that's another thing, speaking on your mentality, because that's a great mentality to have, for real. With nothing to lose, or you feel like you got nothing to lose, you feel like you got everything to gain, it's like, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Worst deal. That's literally.
I'm already at the bottom. What's
like
the
even when I moved, I didn't have a plan. I just walked into my job and quit, and just moved. Me and my girl, you know, who's my son's mom. I'm like, no, man, let's go.
Let's go.
Because my homie, he wanted us to move to Philly. We were like, I was doing it in September. But I'm like, if I stayed, I wouldn't have never left. You know what I'm saying? Like, So I just said, I just had to create a situation where I had no options but to go. So I just walked in my job, was like, hey, listen, I quit. I'm leaving. Called my family up for a meeting. Like, yo, can we all talk? We all went to my mom's house. And I'm like, listen, I'm moving to Philly and I'm not coming back. Like, under no circumstances will I ever move back here. So if shit don't work out, I'll probably just be out there homeless or some shit. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't coming back.
Damn, but that's... Talk about this, though, because I know you talk about how you should get the location first before you get the actual machine. So has there ever been a time where if you get the location and then something goes wrong with the period where you get the machine where that could set back and mess up the contract you have with the location?
Man, the closest thing to that is me having a location for only 2 weeks.
Oh, so you should have it longer. You should have it before that is what you're saying.
Like, I'm saying, like, as far as, like, me putting my machines in the business and only being there for 2 weeks.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah, like, most of the time, once you secure a location, it's everything is fine, you know what I'm saying, okay. For the most part. Like, I did see a weird thing happen to a location that I gave somebody, and on move-in day, the owner of the building was like, no. So for a month, everything was going fine. Sending requests, move-in day was like, no. Like, that was some weird shit, but that's like a once in a...
That's rare.
Yeah, but like I said, me being in a location for only 2 weeks and them kicking me out, you know, like, that was rare, but shit, I ended up taking it out from there and putting it in a spot where today is making me over $800 a month, so it was...
That's good money.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't... Yeah, I would have been making half of that spot, which would have been a solid number, but now it's an even better spot, so...
So how do you figure out, because I noticed something that people going to ask, how do you figure out if it's a place that's a good location, a bad location? Like, how do you figure it out beforehand?
You want to do the location assessment, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, that's something that I have that's in, like, my vending machine course and things like that. It's a location assessment. You want to ask all the right questions. Like, so when you meet with a location, you know, like, they're quote-unquote interviewing you, but you're really interviewing them. So you have to ask some questions about how many people was in the establishment, you know, where would the machine go, who will all have access to the machine, because it's different. Like, somebody could say, oh, we got 100 people in the building, but if only 30 of them have access to the machines, then it's a 30 location, you know what I'm saying? Right. So you got to ask stuff like that. So once you go through, you know, a set of questions, how many people there, who have access, where it's going to go, like, where it's going to go was important. Like, if it's going to be somewhere in the back where motherfuckers can't walk by it, then like, it's not, you know what I'm saying? So you have to go through all of that kind of stuff. And then even with that, you still will never know until you get in there. You know what I'm saying? Like, nothing is guaranteed. Like, I've had locations where I thought it was going to do amazing and it bombed. I had locations where I thought it was just going to be okay and it's doing crazy. Like, you don't really know until you got in there, because a lot of stuff come into play too. You know what I'm saying? Age, race. Like, a whole lot of stuff, you know, gender, like, that stuff impacts.
That come into play?
Hell yeah. You know
what I mean? Like, it's like what? Like,
so, like, as far as age, right, older people are not going to use the machine as much as younger people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because the kind of stuff that they're going to eat is not going to be that, it's going to be beneficial to you and your business. Like, okay. Let's be real. Like, most of the machines have junk food in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So older people are not going to do that. And on top of that, they're not going to use a card reader. They're going to have cash.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So when you eliminate, like, something like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that plays a part. But, like, younger people, they're going to use Apple Pay, like, Google. Like, anything like that, they carve it, they're going to do that. They're going to be living at the machine for bad stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, even gender-wise, like, certain things are going to sell more because it's seen that women like certain things more than guys. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Race, like, people don't understand or know. Like, there's a science behind this shit as to why people ask why I be so successful in it, because I break this shit down, you know what I'm saying? And being able to, like, all right, I know that, to be real, like, you know, black people, we eat certain kind of product. Like, you might eat Funyuns, but the guy that...
I get what you're going
like,
with.
He not going to eat that, you know what I'm saying? Or he might eat a certain kind of bar, but fucking Skittles. Right. Like, so it's like, it's stuff like okay. that goes into it. So when you look at where your machine is, when you're looking at, all right, this a business office? Is this apartment? What kind of people live in this apartment? Is it high earners? They probably not going to eat as much junk food because they're going to care a lot about health and wealth. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all that kind of stuff that goes into it, that when I scout a location, all of that comes into consideration.
That's crazy, yo. Like, I never thought of, like, that deep on it. But like you said, that's why you make so much money. My bad, D. Go ahead.
You good. I was going to say you got to cater to your audience. But something I want to ask you, because you said getting the location is one of the very first things that you should do. But I want to talk about the contract itself. So when you're getting ready to go under contract with a location, what are the key things that you need to make sure is in your contract or in that binding agreement before y'all solidify it?
That's a good question. And here's a funny answer. The vending machine business is one of the like only businesses probably left that a handshake agreement is all you really need.
Really?
Right. Because think about it, right? How many times you walk past a vending machine and didn't think about who owned it?
I've never thought about it.
It's a part of the building.
Yeah.
So think about the staff, the people that live there, whatever. Like, it's a part of the building to them too.
Yep.
The same people that was working there today ain't gonna be there 6 months from now or a year or two from now. You know what I'm saying? So as long as your machine is in that spot and you doing good service, you don't even need, it's just a part of the building. Like, that's how it is. Now, so I have contracts in some of my spots and some spots I don't. But in the contract, like, over time, like, it was started with one thing, but I started to learn more. Like, one thing that I added to make sure was that, like, if they try to kick me out of a spot, you know, like, 30 days, you know what I'm saying? They have to give me a 30-day notice. But, like, if they have a problem with something, they have to give me an opportunity to rectify it in a certain amount of time. If I don't rectify that specific problem within that time, they can then give me 30-day notice to get out. But if they don't give me that notice and they try to kick me out, I make sure in the contract that they are responsible for my future earnings for the duration of that contract. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, because we put like, for the most part, like, we pay for everything. So if I spend this money on these machines and you kicking me out, I lost my money. Now, like, and if it's something that, like, I didn't get an opportunity to rectify, or if it's not the same problem, like, so in those 21 days that I put in there, if a different problem come up, like, that's a whole new 21. That's not the same problem. Like, if I rectify, if let's say we had expired food in there, and over the 21 days I changed that, and then the car reader wasn't working, you can't then say, oh, we having too much problem, let's get it out. Like, nah, because that's not the same problem. Mm-hmm. I rectified that problem. So if you really want me out, I've had to use my contract against a location who waited me out until the contract was over. You know what I'm saying? Because I bought a location from somebody, and, like, it's sometimes you deal with people who are just, like, they nasty. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, when they had a problem, it became a big inconvenience. Like, it's not that sick.
In your opinion, is that, like, the better strategy, just buying a location instead of buying a machine, getting a location and all that, or just buying one straight up? What you think?
For me, I believe that buying a location that already has a machine in it is the best route to take, because, like, it can be one location, it could be 10 locations with 20.
Right.
And because you're buying the revenue. When you buy that, exactly. You're buying the revenue. If you buy a location that's making $600 a month, you're buying the ability to make $600 a month every month. Forever. Yep. Right? So people will be looking at it like, so if it's $600 a month, that means that they're selling it, they're more than likely going to sell it for one time the annual revenue.
Yep.
So that means that's going to be what, like $7,200 or something a year?
Something like that.
Yeah, right? Yep. So you'll see a location for sale with a machine for $7,200. And people might initially be turned off, like, damn, I want it. But it's like, nah, I'm paying $7,200 right now to keep making $7,200 every year. Now, how many businesses give you that opportunity? You know what I'm saying? Not a lot. So I be trying to get people to understand that. Look at the first amount you're going to pay, the amount you're going to keep on making. And you typically make more money at a location over time. You know what I'm saying? Because when people are used to that machine being in there, they just always going to use it.
Always going to use it.
So I believe that buying a location with a machine, or a route that we call it, is the best way to go, as far as, because it's the closest thing to a guarantee in a business.
Right.
Like, you want to make sure they have a car read on it so you can, like, see the sales history, you know, to verify sales. But it's the closest thing to a guarantee. Now, getting the location and then putting your own machines has the biggest boom or bust. Because when you put, because you can put a $1,500 machine in there and make $600-$700 a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's a good, amazing return on investment. Mm-hmm. Or you can put a machine there for $1,500 or $3,000 and you're making $90 a month. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's the boom or bust is there, you know. But for me, I would prefer to just buy locations. Like, if you got money and you want to get into business and you got a partner, you know, people that got some, you know, some bread, I would suggest doing that. You know what I'm saying? Because you know you're buying, this is what it's going to be. Mm. And you have the opportunity to make that location better. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, if it don't have card readers on it, you put card readers on it, it's going to boost your sales by 25-35%. Mm. Right? And they may, people get used to certain things, like habits. So they may be putting the same product in a machine that's not selling, but it's a habit. You come in and switch the shit out, now you're making more money. I know that from taking over locations from people that have bad service. I know that from myself falling into a habit of doing stuff. I don't stock my machines. I haven't done it in a year. My sister handles all of that, you know, and she She swapped things out for me. And I'm like, damn, man, we making like $200 more a month. Oh, she's like, yo, because I swapped out the soda and I started putting these different kind of juices in there. Like, shit, all right, yo.
Do your thing.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because I became that guy. Yeah. I know how easy it is to fall into a habit and just like, oh, let me just fill the machine. You know what I'm saying? You know, so.
What's because I noticed something you said. You said bad service. You could elevate a bad service. What would qualify as bad service when you got a machine somewhere?
A location where, like I said, they don't have card readers on it. So that limits the ability for people to use it because we, you know, we're in more of a digital, you know, time right now. Things always getting stuck in the machine. That's the number one complaint. Dollars being eaten.
Shake that joint.
You know what I'm saying? Dollars being eaten, expired product, and not being restocked. You know what I'm saying? Like those kind of things. So when you come in, like you come in and you can alleviate all of that kind of stuff, you can take that over. Like even, here's the thing, like even if you lying about your service, just the fact that you're saying you would do everything that they're not doing, you will be able to take it. Like, people will be like, oh, man, it's already got machines. That don't mean they're doing good. Mm. That don't mean that they're great at what they're doing. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be deterred. You know what I'm saying? Like, because these other vendors, they're going to try to take your shit.
For real?
They're going to try to, listen, people make cold calls all the time. Like, hey, y'all got vending machines? Yeah, well, listen, let me tell you why ours is better than we can do for you. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mad people probably try to call my locations, but I do such a good job that, you know, they tell them, like, nah, we good. You know what I'm saying? We good.
So when someone's buying a location, like, what does the turnover look like? What do you have to do to make sure it's a smooth transaction and, you know, before you take over?
Yeah. So like I said, for me, I prefer, like, I always tell people, like, if you can, try to always get a location and have a card reader on it. So that you can pull up those sales, like, because you can't fake them. You can't fake those sales. You know
That's
what I'm saying?
Gym. Like, That's a gym, bro.
It's going to be on there. You know what I'm saying? Every card reader has a portal where in real time, when the sale is made, it goes on there. You know what I'm saying? So if you can look for that, that's very important. You want to be able to test the machines to make sure the machines and stuff like that is going well. You know what I'm saying? And that's if you're buying a location that has a machine in it. Because you can buy a location without a machine and buy it to take ownership of it to put your machine in it. And, you know, I'll talk about that a little later because that's something I have.
Talk about that, bro.
So you want to make sure that, you know, you test the machines, all the buttons are working. Like if you have a drink machine, you want to make sure that shit is getting cold because you don't want to buy a machine.
It's hot. Yeah, hot ass soda.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You want to make sure that. You want to make sure that all the hours of operation, you know, like you want to know all the, like the entry points, what time you can come in. You want to know what kind of products they like, what sell, what don't sell, things of that nature. If there's a commission being paid, if there is a commission being paid, to see the contract, to see, you know, you want that kind of stuff. Like if 10 times out of 10, if you're paying commission, there's a contract. So you want to know that. You want to know how much you're paying commission, how often it's being paid. Is it monthly, quarterly, yearly? Is it net? Is it revenue? You know what I'm saying? Is it gross sales? Like, you want to know all that kind of stuff. And even with the card readers, like, you want to make sure, because this is some shit people don't even know. Like, you want to make sure that the serial numbers on the portal that they're going to show you from the card sales match the card reader on the machine. Right.
Okay.
Sound crazy, right? Because you can, because if you're green to the business, you don't know to really look for the serial number. So on each card reader inside the machine, it's a box with a serial number on it. That tells you the card reader. That serial number is also on the portal when you check the device. So somebody can show you this machine and say it's making $700 a month and show you a card reader. The portal sells for a whole different card reader that's doing well.
Whoa.
And now you bought this thing, like, yo, I thought it was doing such and such, not even knowing that you need to make sure the serial numbers match.
Mm-hmm. Whoa, you just gave out some game, bro.
Yeah, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't know that. I never heard of it.
Yeah, man. Like, that's because, man, listen, they can get you, they'll get you.
So people probably be, it's probably a lot of people that be getting scammed, getting into vending.
Yeah.
Thinking they're going to make some money, not knowing, like, they're making $50 a month because they got the wrong.
Right, because they don't even know. So they're thinking, like, damn, like, yeah, I saw the card sales. Like, yeah, you saw a card sale. You didn't see the card sale. You don't know if that's the one. You know what I'm saying? So I always make sure, you know, I tell my students or anyone, like, hey, when you look at that shit, like, make sure there's no, when they sell you the card sales, make sure they're not blacking out the serial number on the portal. Cause they're like, oh, cause they were like, oh, you know, I just want to protect it now, because you can't do nothing with that serial number unless the seller allows it. In order to transfer that card reader to you, they have to approve it with the card reader company.
Oh.
So it don't even matter, you know what I'm saying? So they don't need to black it out, because I can't do nothing with that number unless you say yes. I have to provide my name, my business, my address to the card reader company. They will then take that to the owner and be like, hey, they want this. Are you approving? So make sure that they don't sell you, they ain't providing no sales report with blacked out serial numbers.
Hey, yo, y'all that's watching this, let me take my glasses off so they can see. Y'all that's watching this, listening, this is how you avoid getting scammed with investing in vending machines. Because that's something that, like I said, I ain't never heard of that. So I only could imagine how many people that was about to get into vending that didn't know that too, that's probably thinking, like I said, they're going to make all this money. And they not making shit just because somebody sent them off with the wrong serial number. That's heavy, bro.
Yeah,
that's heavy, bro. I'm glad you just said that.
I want to ask you this: is liability insurance a thing in a vending business? Like, in case something goes wrong with the machines, or let's say somebody eats a product from a machine, and something happens to them, like something like that.
No, it's asked, but it's not asked as often as you might
think
because the companies, to be honest, they're not thinking about that. And they only access certain places that where it makes a lot of sense. Like, excuse me, like a business office, they know about having that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Certain large companies that know the value and they handle a lot of stuff like that, they're going to want that. And they want that. It's really like, it's for them. Like, having the insurance don't really do nothing for you in regards to, like, claims. You really having that insurance because you don't want to get sued. You want your company to get sued.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, for the vending machine thing, like, insurance is like $1,000 deductible. If you got to pay, unless you have a brand new machine, if you got to pay $1,000 for repair, you might just get another machine and not make the claim. You know what I'm saying? There's no point. You know, you really just, like I said, you really just protecting your personal assets versus your company. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not going to really make a claim. You know, like, something happened to my machine, it's $500. Like, I'm going to go fix it. I'm going to just pay for that.
Facts.
You know, unless you, like, my whole business, like, if I had, like, 20 machines, and let's say, like, when the protest stuff was happening and people breaking in all the machines, then you might do that because now, you know, you'll be having to pay a lot. You know, so that's when it will come in. But other than that, for the most part, you want to have it with certain things. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, business office, maybe gyms, maybe, you know, things like that. And it's like, it's only like $50 a month to have. Like, I pay $80 a month because it's $55 a month if you, like, mail in. I know I'm not mailing shit in.
Nah.
So I pay that extra $25 a month to make sure my business is good.
It's good. No, that's crazy. And I really like the when it comes to vending, I like the buying routes stuff, just because I feel like that's something a lot of people sleep on, because everybody want to invest their money, and that's something that you could easily do. Like, I remember when we had our office in California, it was this older guy. He had an office next to us, and she laughed because the dude was crazy. That's why she laughed. He was one of the craziest dudes I ever met, for real. He was funny though. But he had he was investing in vending machines a lot. He had like a big route, But he kept having heart attacks because he was doing it all himself. So he kept having all these heart attacks. So he was like, I can't go to these places and pick up these packages. And he was like, my machine, he's like, my route making like one, I think he said like 170,000. He had a lot of machines. And he, but he sold it. He, I think he said he sold it for like 140,000. I'm like, damn, that's good money, yo.
Yeah, because you typically, like I said, they typically, you typically sell it for one time the, you know, the annual revenue or maybe less. Sometimes you can get a little more because like, the more money it makes, the more you can get from it because it's like a real long-term investment. You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody making $5,000 a year, I wouldn't suggest paying more than $5,000 for that. But if somebody making like $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 and they want an extra $7,000 to $10,000 or $20,000, probably go that because like in a year and a half to 2 years, you're gonna be up.
No, facts.
Just keep on going. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, like when you think about it, like, and this is why I have focused so much more time on vending than real estate because it's like,
it's working.
Right. Like I just paid $6,000 for a new machine and a refurbished machine to put in a location. And it's going to be making me $5,000 to $6,000 a month off of that $6,000 that I'm putting in. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if I was getting in real estate, I would have to pay. To make $6,000 a month off of some shit, I would have to pay.
Yeah, a lot.
A whole lot of, you know what I'm saying? Now, and I tell people, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I had the, you know, the ability to, like, I was still always, I think real estate was always better long term in the fact of, you know, appreciation. Like, my machines are not going to appreciate. It's just a cash loan. And cash is king, you know what I'm saying? So it's important to have that. So that's why, like I said, that's why I do vend the machine right now. I'm still focused on it heavy because I see an opportunity. I see when the pandemic hit, people, you know, when people were stepping back, I was going forward.
He was going forward.
Because my competition got eliminated by people being scared. When people, when the pandemic hit, everybody said, oh, everything is shut down.
Yep.
You know, I don't operate that way. My mind is, let me figure out what the hell is still open, though. Because if I can find out what's still open, we can stand the test of time. We can stand through a pandemic. You know what I'm saying? I'll be good. I'm going to just start targeting them places.
But did you target like hospitals and things like that?
No, I didn't target hospitals. Like hospitals is like the hardest shit to get into.
Yeah,
like,
as an individual. I can imagine.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So I don't target those kind of things. But I started targeting things that people probably not, you know, thinking about. Like a trucking company. You know what I'm saying? You know, they be working, you know what I'm saying? They be working 6 days a week, sometimes 16 hours a day. So they're going to typically drink a lot of drinks because they're gonna be thirsty, you know, burning calories. You know what I'm saying? Certain kind of warehouses, landscaping. I got a landscaping company that makes like $700 a month with only 40 employees because they're always active. Dance studios and things like that. Active. Gymnastics.
Right. You know they're going to go to the gym.
Right? Mm-hmm. Looking at things of that nature. So I started to focus on what's open. And when I started to do that, it allowed me to, that's how I build my business. Like, because I started running ads when people was home. I'm like, all right, these businesses, they're going to see these ads because people are going to be home. They're going to be, you know, Googling and looking up stuff, send out some emails. You know what I'm saying? So I started to go towards business versus stepping back during that time. Yeah, that's how my joint grew. Like I said, like, you know, just to bring back to buying the route, you know, like I said, like paying that money, that one time fee for that money, and being able to make that every year is just so important. Like that's why I tell people, like, if you don't have $10,000 by yourself, partner with somebody.
Partner
with somebody. You know what I'm saying? Like it's a guaranteed kind of thing.
I think you said a lot that was very, very, very valuable. Like even what you saying, like how you're something, like you was wanting to get into real estate, but you working on vending machines and it's working. Because I'm going to believe, like, when something's working, ain't no point of venturing out to other things unless you get way up. And that's one of the, to be honest, that's one of the biggest lessons that I learned this year. Like, I took a big L. So she rolled her eyes. I took a big L recently, like almost a six-figure L recently. And that's something, like, when it happened, I immediately was like, I could have just kept fucking doing what I was doing. That's been making me a lot of money. Just kept doing that and started, instead of trying to get into new shit, like, I could just keep, like, that's why I always, now I be preaching to people, I'm like, if something is working, just keep doubling down on that.
I just tweeted that shit last night because for me, I have my vending machine business. That's my one thing, but I have four or five different ways to make money with it.
Exactly.
Like, that's, you know what I'm saying? So when I talked about buying location, that's, like, where I'm at today, that has helped me so much. Like, that's my own business within itself now. You know what I'm saying? Like, I got... I'm gonna be real. Like, I got I was still working. You know what I'm saying? I was still working as about to be a whole lot of words and say a whole bunch of nothing, but independent contractor behavioral specialist. So I was making like $50 an hour, you know, working with people that have behaviors and stuff like that, you know, which is really good money. And that was my foundation. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was making six figures by doing that. That's my foundation. But I got fired from there April 29th, right? And in that same, I'm going to be real, in that same time, I had just got mad locations at once, and I put machines in them all, you know what I'm saying? So I was tapped out financially in regards to, like, money I had to spend. Like, I still have money in stocks and crypto, but, like, you know, that, to me, that don't exist. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, well, shit, well, I still got my job check coming, so I'll be all right. But the motherfuckers fired me, like, before I can even get another check, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know how to pay payroll? So, right, and then my, you know, we're engaged now, but my fiance, like, we have broke up, shit, you know, broke mm-hmm. up, that so that was like, I called that the hell week, right? Initially.
Yeah, a lot going on.
In that same week, all in like 2 days time frame. But, you know, I'm like, man, that means some shit about to pop off for me.
That's how I look
right?
at it. You know.
So what ended up happening was I had ended up getting so many locations at one time in Philly that I'm like, man, let me just sell a couple of these. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck it, I can't take them all. Mm-hmm. So I sold a couple of them. And then I'm sitting back like, damn, like, I just sold 3-4 locations, you know, and I think I was charging, I only charged like $500 at that moment, you know what I'm saying? So I just made like $2,000 off of selling these locations. Like, first of all, I need to up my price because these other places will charge a whole lot more. Like, some will charge $1,200 just to look for it for you, not to guarantee, but just to look. So I'm like, all right, the vending location is the most biggest part of the business. Like, without a location, like, you can have 100 machines and they just sit in your garage. You need the location.
That's crazy.
So I'm like, all right, I need to start charging more for these locations and charge, you know, on a scale based on, like, how many people is going to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like, my thing is, like, if it's under 50, maybe charge $1,000 for it. You know, it's a one-time fee. If it's, you know, 75, 1500. If it's over 100, 2000, then just cap it down. Because I don't want to milk nobody. But what I'm saying to say is that because when I realized, like, all right, I did this shit in Philly, I'm like, what if I took it nationwide? And that's what I did. So from let's say May, no, I really started in June. From June till now, I made over 100,000 selling locations. Just, you know what I'm saying? So, like, because at my job, I wasn't making much money because the pandemic hit, and then, you know, they wanted to see somebody in person. I'm like, I'm trying to not do so much. So I wasn't even making like the 8,000 to 9,000 I was making a month. I wasn't making that no more. So when I celebrated, you know, making 300,000 this year, that's strictly off of my company. You know what I'm saying? That's coming off of me. And like I said, like, started selling locations. So I vet it. I go and, you know, I make sure everything is fine. I do the location assessment. I get an agreement with the location. And I sell it to who's the first person that responds. And I have 12,000 people on my email list. And you
I'm
know
on
saying?
There. I was just about to say, I get an email down there every day. It's a new location.
So your people in there, I sell them all. Like, none of them go unsold. You know what I'm saying? So you see them emails.
Yeah, I see them every day.
All the time, you know, and that's, and like I said, I took that, which is, it's a part of my vending business. So that's another stream of income.
That's hard, bro. That's hard. Salute.
But I branched out. You know what I'm saying? You know, I branched out. We have a cold calling. Like, we do the cold calls, you know, where we're charging like $500-$600 to make these calls and stuff like that. That's another part. You know what I'm saying? I have my vending. Like, I use one thing and branched off to make multiple streams of income.
Exactly.
So instead of, because I've been the same way trying to put some money in some stuff, you know, oh, that shit, like, all right, let me make some. Like, nah, man, double down.
Double
you know what
down.
I'm saying? Like, just double down on what I do. How can I, and every year, I'm like, how can I make my business better?
Better.
How can I grow it more? You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Because the thing that I'm going to be doing next is, nah, I ain't going to say that.
Don't say it.
Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be something that for people who are, like, you know, trying to put some money in or who got some big amount, like, it's going to be something that's going to be beneficial for them. You
for
know
them.
What I'm saying? Like, but. Me and my fiance, got to give her a shout out because she's amazing and she definitely helps me with encouragement, giving me advice and stuff like that. So we've been talking about something that we want to, you know, put in fruition for the upcoming year, you know. And I just got her first location, started her vending machine business.
Word, that's
that
salute,
you know
salute.
we about to we about to have that out coming up. You know, I just gifted my sister.
I saw that one.
I just gifted her her vending machine business. So I gave her two machines that make $600 a month, and I gave that to her because
hard, bro.
Same way I moved from where we're from to Philly, she did the same thing last year, just believing in me. You know what I'm saying? She believed, like, my brother going to take care of me. And she's, like I said, I'm able to live in Maryland while she's in Philly taking care of my business. Mm. And I had to give that to her. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, so yeah, man.
She That's just, hard, bro. That's hard. Man,
but what's crazy is from this conversation, we had you start off at $15 an hour to get to that point making.
We about to get into another milestone. You probably know where I'm going. We about to get into another milestone. There. But before I go there, we gonna go into our next sponsor real quick. This episode is also sponsored by The Morning Meetup. One thing all successful people have in common is strong connections. If you're trying to break into the entrepreneurial world, you're looking to network with like-minded individuals, or you're looking to take your business to the next level, currently entrepreneurs from all across the country meet up every morning for a daily meeting from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern to start the day off right. If you want to join this community, there's never been a better time to try it out, because for a limited time only, you can start a 7-day trial for just $1. If you're looking to get started with The Morning Meetup, you can go to www.themorningmeetup.com/$1 trial. And like as always, the link for that is in the description of this podcast episode. So like I said, speaking of milestones, I got to go into something that you tweeted. And then I got to tell you congrats as well, because this is major. You said, I did it. I've officially made $300,000 this year. I got fired from my jobs 8 months ago and dedicated my time building myself and my business up. I made $30,000 in 2018. To make 10x my income in 3 years is an accomplishment for me. So I want to tell you first, salute on that.
I appreciate that, man.
That's a big fucking deal, bro. So I just want to say, what that feel like? I know it feel amazing just to go from, like I said, having jobs to 8 months ago to leaving and making $30,000 a couple years ago to make $300,000 in 1 year. That's a big fucking deal, man.
It was a goal that I had probably about 3-4 months ago when I saw that it can be possible. You know, like, I'm like, let me just shoot for the
shoot sky, forward.
You know what I'm saying? So it feel amazing. It feel even more amazing because like I made 238 last year, which was a big jump from 72 in 2019. Amazing jump.
That's amazing.
So coming into this year, I was like, all right, man, can I at least do 200? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause I'm like, maybe last year was a fluke. Like, it was a new year. Like, I couldn't believe that it happened like that for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, before I knew it. Like, I mean, to be transparent, like, I remember in 2019, December was like the first time I made $10,000 in a month. I was ecstatic about it. And I only wanted to make $5,000 a month. Cause I'm like, you know, I wasn't making more than like $2,000
a month. $60,000 a year.
Right? You know what I'm saying? That's all I wanted. Like, that's a lot of money to a motherfucker that was making $30,000.
Yeah, when you broke.
So when I made $10,000, I'm like, all right, my goal is to make $12,000. And if I do that for the rest of my life, I'm good. Mm-hmm. January, the following month, I made $19,000. And I couldn't believe it. But I had nothing to show for it.
Mm,
I had nothing for it. I don't know what the fuck the money was.
That's how it be.
I have no idea. Don't know. You know what I'm saying? But that's what, you know what I'm saying? So that shit made me focus even more. So I'm saying that because when I have money and I put it in great places, I save money. Well, more so now I invest it because it's like I learned investing is more important than saving.
Mm-hmm.
But this milestone feels better than like jumping from 72 to 238. From 238 to 300,000, because I did it primarily for me. Like I had, like I said, I made $100,000 from my job last year, so that foundation was there. But doing it on myself, when it wasn't even a decision I made, it was like my back was against the wall, and instead of folding, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna make this shit happen. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it felt great.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? I wanted it, and then I didn't really like fully get into my you know, my fiance texted me and was like, yo, man, like, you really
you did it.
How I feel to be a superstar? I'm like, what?
No.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's crazy. Real. Like, sometimes I know for myself, I have these goals where, you know, having certain round numbers or something, it's like, it don't really mean much. But, like, when I think about doing 3 times, you know, 10 times my income in, 3 years?
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
You said 2018, 30,000, bro.
2020
and 2021, 300,000, bro. Like, that's so dope just because I know it's hella other people out here that's making that much money that they might not even know. Like, it can't happen that fast when I'm making good money. That's 3 years.
And that's why, and the one, like, people be asking, like, you know, people have a problem when you talk about the money you make. And for me, until the day I die, I'm going to do it. And it's not to flex. It's not. It's because, like, bro, I was there. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was there. Just like, there. I was there. I literally was there. My uncle is a millionaire. You know what I'm saying? So he's the only person that I had knew prior to now was a millionaire. He was 60 years old. He got a bunch of real estate properties. But before I moved, he showed me, like, his black book that has the amount of money he made. He's making $30,000 a month off of his rental income. And when I saw that shit, I'm like, are you serious? But his transparency showed me, like, yeah, you can do this. He's like, you can do it. All you got to do is do this, this, and this. Like, he taught me a lot about real estate, and I use that as far as, you know, how to be professional and to be in my vending machine stuff. You know what I'm saying? So I talked to him and my grandfather, who showed him the business, about vending machine. And they not even answering questions about vending machine. They just talking about business from what they do, and it'd be helpful.
That's helpful.
But them showing me, like, this is how much I make doing this made me like, oh, I can do this. I know you. Mm. I know you. So if I know you and I get to talk to you every day,
every
and
we go to fucking lunch, it's possible.
I know I can do this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, my homie, you know what I'm saying? And this is something like when I talk about in my book, you know, because I have a book coming out next Wednesday, January 5th. I talk about it in my book where I don't compare. Like, I never compare. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guy I used to be friends with, when I was making $60 a month, he was making like $3,000 a month off his vending machine or four, whatever, how much he was making. You know what I'm saying? But I didn't get discouraged. I'm like, oh shit, if he making that shit, I know I can do
it. Make it.
And I always, and not in a negative way. I want people to have that when they, like, man, as I said, the markets can do this shit. I can do this
I
shit.
Can do this shit.
Because I'm not, like, I ain't got no special talent that I did. You know what I'm saying? I ain't have no crazy advantages. I was just thinking I believed in itself.
And
it was like, all right, I'm going to do it. Like, I took a, you know what I'm saying? I took an L and I'm like, all right, well, how can I get better at this shit? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm the type of person, like, right now, I told you, rational confidence. I can go fight Canelo Alvarez, get my ass whooped, and be like, up. You know what?
If I wasn't, if,
yeah, yo, all I got to do next time is watch out for the hook. You know what I'm saying? What, like, that's how.
No, facts.
That's how I always operated, man. I always operated that way. You know what I'm saying? So, like, if people know me, people that know me know, like, I was always going to be here. Mm. Like, they didn't know for what.
How it was going to happen.
You just knew it was going to happen.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the mindset is important, man. Like, people believe, like, you can't mindset your way out of it. That's not.
Man.
I don't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely know that, especially as being black, we have certain disadvantages. But I do believe that, like, at some point in time, like, your mindset have to, you got to kick in to, you know, a new gear. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, if I've been doing the same shit all the time, I got to try something different.
Facts.
And not be scared to fail. Because if I believe my life is already bad, I'm just going to be back to being bad. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that accomplishment is something major to me, because that just means that next year I can do it more.
But no, real talk. That's why access, like you said, your uncle, that's why access is so important, because access shows you. Because you might, if you don't know somebody and you see it, you like, man, this person ain't nothing like me. Like, they just on a whole nother level. But somebody you know, you talk to, is like, hold on. Like, I got a friend of mine. She made $20 or $30 million this year. And, like, I went out to spend a weekend with her, a mansion and all that, kicking it. And just talking to her, I'm like, you know, you create ideas in your mind. Like, to get to that point, you got to be so, like, doing some otherworldly shit. And just being around and talking to her, it's not true. And you know what I'm saying? Just stand down, what she doing, what's working, just going all in on it. So it's like, damn, if she could do it, she regular like me, I could do that. I could do 20, 30 in a year now.
I changed my life with $10,000, man. I saved $10,000 making $15, or $15 to $17 an hour.
Damn.
And
how long did that take?
Like 9 months, because, hey, listen, sacrifice. I moved in with my mom for 9 months. Motherfuckers laughed at me. Like, I asked people laugh at me about that. It ain't matter. My mom good now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. How old was you at the time?
This was right before I moved to Philly. So I was 27.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a humbling experience.
Right. You know, from going away to college, getting your bachelor's and then getting your master's and then, you know what I'm saying, like, moving in. I had a son at that time too. You know what I'm saying? I had a 2-year-old son. So moving back on my mom crib, like, yeah, motherfuckers might judge that. You know, women might not want to date a man. Like, no, you know, listen. I had a plan. So I stayed with my moms for 9 months. I didn't, you know, people be having some problem with people saying, like, oh, sacrifice, or like, nah, you like, sacrifice fun. We don't got to have sacrifice fun. All right, cool. Like, you're not sacrificing. Somebody's doing that shit. And then you looking at somebody live the life you want to live. And the difference is that they did make that sacrifice. You know what I'm saying? So I sacrifice going out, buying expensive stuff, buying new stuff. Like, I just stayed down for 9 months. You know what I'm saying? Took that $10,000. That was the $10,000 that I used when I moved to Philly. You know what I'm saying? So $2,800 I spent on that program. That was bad. $4,500 I spent, you know what I'm saying, on my first placement. And I just kept going from there. But, like, I sacrificed. Like, that was my – that's the thing.
You spent $2,800 on the program to teach you about vending?
Right. $2,800? Because it was supposed to come with – it was supposed to come with, like, a website. It was supposed to come with a course. It was supposed to come with all that shit. And it was – no. You know what I'm saying? Like, do that for a lesson. Less than that. You know, so – but yeah, I ain't know.
Yeah,
that's
right.
And that's one of the reasons why I have a course, is to let motherfuckers know how to do this thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, people be getting a bad rap for having courses and stuff like that.
Yep.
But shit, I wish I'd have had that then. If I had to pay $197, $200 or $150 back then and save, you know, I might have been better prepared for a next location. But I wasn't making no money for my first location, so I didn't have, you know, if I'd had more money, then I'd probably have been prepared for another one. You know what I'm saying? So me, like I said, I said, you know, off air, but like, I got fired like 10 times in like 3 years. So like, I realized that, man, listen, this shit probably ain't, you know, this working thing is not for me. Not in a negative way, but in the sense that like, I knew that my personality and how I operated wouldn't work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe that people should like stay at your 9 to 5 as long as you can.
I agree.
Because like I said, that 100K I was making helped me a lot, you know what I'm saying? Helped me a lot being able to invest into my business. But I knew long term I couldn't do that, you know what I'm saying? Because no matter how much I loved the job, it always got to a point where I knew it or they knew it that it was like
it was gonna be,
the expiration.
It was gonna be forever. And I just want to say to the people that's watching and listening to this, if you think about getting into vending and that's something that you're interested in, definitely subscribe to Marcus's email, because like I said, I get an email every single day about a new location he got somewhere and stuff like that. So that's going to make it so much easier for you if you're looking to start. Just go subscribe to his email. And I want to ask you, so now how many vending machines do you have now?
I probably only have 14 now.
14. That's still a lot.
You know, but I've been selling things because I'm downsizing. Like, even now, I'm selling like half my route right now.
Really? Why is that?
Because my sister, like, she takes care of my stuff, you know what I'm saying? And like, I have another company. I have a autism company where we provide services to people with autism, stuff
that's
like
dope,
that.
That's dope, bro.
You know what I'm saying? So she works for my company there too, you know, and like I said, she does a lot of stuff. So it's like, to make it easy on her, you know, just downsize my route. Like I just said, I just got a location that's making like, you know, I'm making $5,000-$6,000 a month. So selling some stuff that's making $5,000-$6,000 a month is taken care of. So if I reduce my stuff to where I have five machines making me $150K to $200K,
it's not bad.
Not
you know
bad.
What I'm saying? You know, so that's what I'm doing. So if anybody looking to buy a, you know, if you in the Philly area, if you're looking to, you know what I'm saying, like if you're looking to even invest passively, because I'm trying to downsize for that reason, but my sister still want to work. So she said she would still work it, and I have somebody else that will work. So if you're looking to buy some routes in Philly, that's going to be where you don't have to do anything except for to collect the money each month, tap in with me, because like I said, I'm selling part of my business. I have some great locations in there. None of them make less than $650 a month. We have one that makes $650 a month, one $750, one $750, one $800, and then one that's $3,000. Right, so if you're looking to tap in.
No, that's y'all watching, y'all listening. If you in Philly or interested, know somebody that's interested, y'all definitely better hit them up, because they're gonna be gone. I'm letting them know right now. They're about to be gone.
The company that I got the location that's doing $6K a month, they have another location they want me to put machines in too. So I can
that's crazy.
Two things, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, and I'll tell people, like, the number one reason I got that the way I do is, like I said, breaking down the signs, but also investing a lot of money into my business, like into my brand. Like, you know, I have I have a van that has my logo and name and logo on it. I have all my business cards, all my machines have my stickers on it, my website. I run ads. Like, I do all of that stuff to, I said this for the first time we was on here, to appear like a big business. Like, they don't know that it's me. It was just me and not me and my sister. They don't know that shit. My sister going there with a hat, her polo. She coming in with a dolly, with all this stuff. They don't know. You know what I'm saying? We present ourselves as a big business, and then we deliver as a big business. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I have, I'm going to give a shout out to one of my mentees named Maya. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's in Atlanta. She finished college and during the pandemic, so May 2020. She had bought my course. She did a consultation with me. She got the website. I promise you, in a couple months, she hit me like, yo, she got this apartment location making money. And then she got another one that made 50K a year, right? Good money. And then she got another one. And so you're talking about somebody who finished college, who came out, like, when I finished college, I couldn't find a job at all. I was over, I had to go back to the hood, you know what I'm saying? I had to go back home. She come out right away making 100,000 pretty much off of vending machines, you know what I'm saying? And, but she followed everything that I did to the T. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. When I seen her purse, her shirt, hat, logo, sticker, everything, she followed to a T. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to, like, people will always be trying to ask me about getting in, and they always trying to go the least expensive route. And I think, you know, which is cool, but it's like, at some point in time, like, if you can, if you're going to keep paying, like, low quality, you know, you're not trying to put all that, you know, time and money into it, you're not going to really elevate. You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
You know, so, like, I pay $15,000 a year for a software that can help me find vending locations. Like, am my competitors willing to do that? Probably not. But are they going to do what I'm doing? Probably not.
That's what set you apart.
That's the bar. And this is the final question I got for you, just for somebody that's listening to this, because, like I said, people always, they might have skipped over their head in the beginning part. I just want you to break down, how can somebody that's thinking about getting into vending, because people, like I said, people always like, I need a step by step. I don't know how that works. Like, somebody want to get a vending, break it down, how they can, where to start, and how they can move forward with it.
I have, there's four different strategies that I, you know, I kind of tell people about. I call one is the, you know, one is the spender, and that's the person who buys the vending routes that are already established. You know what I'm saying? You're buying the guaranteed business. You're putting $5,000 or $10,000 to pay for vending locations that's making that amount of money per month. You know what I'm saying? So you can find them on Craigslist, Facebook Market, OfferUp, any place where they sell. You can find those locations. And then you have someone that I call is the builder, which is myself. That's where I do everything. You know what I'm saying? I start from the ground. That's where I look for locations. I cold call. I run ads and do things like that. Like, that's another strategy that you can use. You can be the side hustler where you don't have to spend as much money. You know what I'm saying? You probably do some cold calls. You probably do on foot going to spots, and like you said, you don't have your website, you don't have none of that kind of stuff, but you put a lot of groundwork in to get your, you know, couple machines. You don't want to make a whole lot of, you just want a couple things. And even the flipper, you know what I'm saying? Like, the flipper is a person, you might buy some machines for cheap on Craigslist, pay to get them fixed, and then sell them. Find a location that needs a machine and sell it to somebody that's looking to put machines in there. Like, do, you know what I'm saying? Do those kind of things to make money. You know, to get in, it's like I said, step one is to find a location. Mm-hmm. Well, before you find a location, find out where you're going to get your machines from. That's very important, because when you get a location, you don't want to be scrambling for machines. No, you want to already know this is where I'm going to
go.
You already know it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks for delivery, whatever. So find out where you're going to get your machines from, and then start looking for a location. All right. So when you start looking for a location, you want to make sure, you know, you want to, if you want a cold call, write down a list of businesses, the type of businesses you would want to put a machine. So if you want apartments, offices, schools, et cetera, make that, you know, write that down. And then look for businesses that fit each one of those criteria in your area, right? You can do that. Or you can hire a vending locator, you know, and that's where you have professional callers who will place these calls for you to find locations. So you don't really have the time to make all those calls. I don't. Right. I don't want to make 200, 300 calls. So I hire somebody to do that. And that's a new service that we just, you know, we just breaking out this month.
Are you vertically integrated for real?
Right. You know what I'm saying? So we do that. You know, we do that. Well, we have people who call. They make these calls for you. And we set up meetings for you. Now, none of the locators can guarantee anything. You know what I'm saying? What they can guarantee you, they should be able to guarantee, is at least getting you a meeting with a location. Right. And it's on you to close the deal.
Close it.
And that's the difference between selling the vending locator and just selling locations. Like the locations, it's already solidified. I already have it on the contract. It's good. It's yours to go when you pay. With the locator, is more so we set it up for you, and it's on you to close the deal.
Close the deal.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because I can't be at fault if you go in there unprepared.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Right? You know what I'm saying? I know how to close the deal. You know, so we have that. But like I said, you can hire a vendor locator. If you're looking for one, you can come holler at me. If not, there's other locators out there, you know, because I don't really care. I ain't worried about competition. So you can do that. Like I said, you buy routes. You can buy routes. One thing I just want to make sure people do is, like, you know, assess the location, man. Assess the location. Like, that means, like, know how many people going to be in that location.
Should you stake it out?
Nah, just, you know, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead. Like, when you meet with, like, and I'm just saying, once you, a location say they're interested in services, like, don't miss anything. Like, I missed some shit my first location. That's why I was where I was at. You know what I'm saying? So don't assume it's a big building, a lot of people here. No. You know what I'm saying? Make sure that the amount of people going to be there, who going to have access. Like, that is so important. Who going to have access, where the machine is going to go. Like, if you have a machine in an apartment building, right, and they put that shit in, they want you to put it in a laundry room, like, you know, that's not good.
That's not good.
Why? No. Because motherfuckers do their laundry maybe once a week,
right,
once every 2 weeks.
That's a fact.
Put it in the lobby where people got, it's a part of their daily habit. Where, like, I put machines on, I have machines on the second floor of a building that's making a lot of money. Then I put machines on the 10th floor. And I've seen that the machines was doing amazing on the second floor, being outsold by the machine on the 10th floor. And that's because when somebody, like, you have to go in the, you know, this specific area, you know, it's like a gym there. Like, you have to go in that area to go to the machine for the second floor. But on the 10th floor, as soon as you come off the elevator, it's right there. So even if you're not thinking about no damn snacks,
you're going to see it. You're going to have to.
Let me, might as well grab some before I go in my room. Let me grab some while I'm leaving out. Like, you, that's important. You know what I'm saying? You want to put it there. You know, you want to make sure you measure the doorways. You know, you want to measure where the space is, you know, is going to go. You want to make sure there's no steps, because a lot of vending machine people that deliver machines don't want to deal with no steps.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if they have to, they need to know how many, because they have to use a certain kind of, you know, tools and stuff like that. So you want to take measurements. That's a very important step that people don't have. You want to make sure that you communicate, you know, how often you're going to come out there. You know, you want to communicate those kind of things. You want to make sure that, you know, you want to make sure that, you know what kind of product they may want. Now, you want to make sure things that they don't want. You also don't ever, ever, ever bring up commission. If they don't ask, don't offer. You know what I'm saying? Because people always be like, okay, you making this amount of money, but how much you got paying rent? Not much. You know what I'm saying? Out of all my locations, I pay commission at like three of them. And the one I'm making like $6,000, I don't got to pay shit there. Because they just want the services.
They just want the services.
They didn't really care about making the money. You know, like, now if you offer it, they're going to probably
gonna take it. Yeah.
And sometimes if you have competitors, it might, and if it's a great location, you might want to offer commission, because I would rather pay, you know, so I would rather make, and if I offer 10 or 20, whatever, 15, I would rather make, set, you know, 80, 90% of something and 100% of nothing. You know what I'm saying? So if I have to offer commission, I'll do it, you know, and that's only if I know what kind of people they're meeting with. Like, I know there's certain big companies that, you know, they big dogs out here. You know what I'm saying? So if I know they, I already know their commission rate, because I've been up against them multiple times. I've lost out locations to them. I've won. So I know what they kind of offering, you know. But for the most part, don't ask. Like, don't offer commission. Don't say nothing about it. My commission rate goes by size, obviously. So if it's less than 50 people or 50 or less, I'm trying to do 5% at most. You know what I'm saying? If it's up to 75, you know, maybe 10%. 100, you know, 15%. I try to max out at 15%. But if they want 20%, and it's going to be a machine, you know, that's going to be making me four figures a month, they're going to get 20%. If they want 25%, they're going to get 25%. Because even after that, I'm still walking away making a good amount of money off it. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, don't buy a machine before you have somewhere to put it. Do not offer them commission. If you want to boost sales in a certain kind of location, like an office, a warehouse, where people are going to talk to one another, maybe put, you know, a dollar in the back of some of your product, you know, because that's going to create buzz, you know. So people are going to be like, yo, I went and bought some snacks and some money on there. Mm-hmm. I played around with scratch-offs. That make it cool, too. You know, if you don't feel comfortable with scratch-offs, just use the dollar method, you know. And people are typically going to put that dollar right back in the machine and more because they're going to try to make some, you know what I'm saying? And those definitely work at places like I said, offices. If you have a senior location where it's a lot of older people, like, they definitely going to, hey, listen, you know how, hey, girl, I went to the vending machine. You know, you want to do that. So pretty much that's my strategy when it comes to the vending location. Like, I make sure I assess it. I make sure the measurements is there. Another tip, too, I'm going to give you two tips to be able to close the location. And that's bring some snacks with you when you meet with the location. You know what I'm saying? Set yourself apart. So hand them some Doritos, hand them a Gatorade, hand them a Snickers and stuff like that. They're gonna feel good when they finish that meeting with you. You know what I'm saying? And also let them know that you're gonna leave petty cash. That's so important because one of the main things that people are always worried about when it comes, what happens if the machine eats my money or something gets stuck? Don't worry about it. We're going to have petty cash in the office so somebody can go get reimbursed right there and they feel comfortable. All right, well, shit, man, they check all the boxes. Those are important things that people don't, you know, think about. But when you say that, because you always want to sound like you are the biggest professional when it comes to it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I don't even give them an opportunity to ask questions. I tell them all of these things. They be like, well, shit, all right, well, let's go.
There's nothing else I can say.
Nothing they can say. No, you know what I'm saying? So I run through it, and it's like clockwork for me.
No, you know your shit, bro. You gave a whole lot of value, a whole lot of game for this episode that I know is gonna help a lot of people. Because like I said, this has been like the most requested topic like pretty much all year long. So I'm super happy that we was finally able to get this done. But before you wrap up, you had any other questions, Z?
No.
So I just want to say, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to fly out here to come on the podcast and get this happen, bro. Like, I don't take that for granted, bro. I really appreciate you, man. You gave a lot of value. But before you wrap up, I want you to plug in all your stuff with the book, Laws of Investing. Like, everything you got, people can follow you, purchase products, everything, you can plug it.
Oh, yeah, man. My book, this is one of the things I'm most proud of, you know what I'm saying? Like, to write a book. It's called Laws of Investment. Vesting. And, you know, it's like Laws of Attraction. But I do these things that build towards, you know, investing in and helping me become successful. So it's these five principles I follow, which allow me to be where I am today. The first is stack your money. The second is acquire assets. The third is don't pocket watch. The fourth is flex when necessary.
I love that.
And the fifth is act your wage.
I love that.
So all of these principles are things that I followed. And each of these, you know, things as a story that happened in my life that showed, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, with stack your money, I talk about, you know, when I moved in with my mom, you know what I'm saying? Mm. And had to sacrifice to move with my mom. And then when I moved to Philly, I moved in with my friend, you know what I'm saying? So that's a sacrifice. I'm acquired assets. I talk about making investments while working your 9-to-5. People be making it seem like you got to do either or. No, you can do both. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't pocket watch. That's where I talk about the comparison to the thief of joy. You know what I'm saying? So when I was making $60 a month and my friends were making thousands, I never compared, you know, or hated or felt some type of way. I just knew that my turn was going to come. It was cool. You know what I'm saying? Flex when necessary. I talk about the importance of celebrating your wins, whether they're big or small. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't be humble. You don't have to be humble. You know, you can be proud of what you, because who really going to be proud and brag about you more than yourself.
Nobody.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I talk about being comfortable with being proud of yourself. And the fifth one is act your wage. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I made that $19,000 in January 2020, I blew it. You know what I'm saying? And I had to learn, like, listen, man, like, I'm still, even right now, I'm on a budget with everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, and not because I can't afford something, but because it's just some point where I shouldn't go over that price point. You know what I'm saying? With everything in my life, I just shouldn't go over that price point. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm not trying to keep up with the Joneses. I'm like, for the most of the time, like, I lease a Nissan. Every 2 years, I get a new lease.
Get a new one.
You know what I'm saying? But prior to that, I was driving a 2008 Dodge Grand Caravan, my vending business van, with 70,000 miles on it, driving everywhere with it. I ain't I started making $20,000 a month, but like I ain't got to go get a crazy car. You know what I'm saying? Nothing like that. Nah, I didn't. Like, so accurate wage is something that people mess up because we talked about it before when the pandemic happened. You know what I'm saying? If I stayed doing the shit I did in January, I probably would have been hurt.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Five, you know, we going 3-4 months without really being able to make money. You done.
Done.
You know what I'm saying? So I already planned for a pandemic, even though I didn't know what was happening. I just like, if anything ever go wrong, my money going to be here.
Going to be there. Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So please get this book. It's going to be available on all platforms, whether it's Amazon, Barnes & Nobles. It's going to be released January 5th.
Okay, so it's not out yet. Okay.
Mm-hmm, so you want to get it next Wednesday. Like I said, I'm excited about it. I do have a vending machine course that you can grab on www.marcusgraham.digital. Like I said, I have a locator services. If you're looking for vending machine locations and need help, you know, want us to call for you, you know, you can get it on there. You can follow me on Twitter at Brother Graham, on Instagram at IAmBrother_Graham. Even though I got 53,000 followers on TikTok, I don't really use it as much because I don't.
You gotta use that TikTok. You gotta use that.
But I think it's like Marcus_Graham.
Okay.
So you can follow me in all of those places. I'm typically responsive, for the most part. I'm always gonna talk about business. I'm always gonna talk about real, you know, stuff. You know, I let people know that even though I'm in business, you know, it's not who I am, it's what I do. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So I'll never lose sight of who I am. If you're a man and you want, you know, to join my weekly men's, you know, Wellness Wednesday on Twitter, you want to follow me on Brother Graham. You know what I'm saying? Follow me at Brother Graham. That's something that's very important to me that I want to focus on moving forward. It's just every Wednesday having a space where, man, we can just come and just talk about real stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, and, you know, be there for one another. So like I said, every Wednesday, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern, is Men's Wellness Wednesday that, you know, with Marcus Graham. And again, I want to thank y'all again because y'all had me on here last February.
For real?
You know what I'm saying? It was February. I remember it was February 2020.
Damn.
And you definitely, you know, introduced a lot of people to me. To this day, people would hit me up. Yo, I heard you on the Millionaire Mindset podcast, man. Like, they, you know what I'm saying? So I had to come out here. It ain't matter.
Yeah. When, like, that's love, bro.
Like, hey, man, you do it? Yeah, listen, let me know. I'm going to come out here, you know. So I appreciate y'all. Y'all grown a lot.
Thank you, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And y'all definitely motivating. You know what I'm saying? Y'all motivating and shit like that, you know?
Thank you.
I love what y'all do together. I think that it's so important to see black couples, you know, being happy, you know, because it seems like when you talk about it, people always have a negative thing to say. You're like, oh, well, you know, they probably not happy. Nah, man, no. That's dope. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you,
it's
bro.
Cool that y'all successful. Y'all doing this shit together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to do the same thing with my woman.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
Cool.
Man, you know what I'm saying? So, yo, appreciate y'all, man, because y'all doing a lot. Y'all doing a lot for people, man.
Thank
like,
you, bro.
Y'all top 50, right?
Yeah. For it's been, Oh, it's been with like almost a year, 2 years straight.
Hey, I tell my kids, like, I'm on the top 50 podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's hard, man. Thank you. No, thank you for those words, for real, bro. That mean a lot, bro. I don't take that for granted, for real, man. And before we wrap up, what's your all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
And you can find me on Instagram at Deanna Kent, Twitter Deanna S. Kent, and YouTube Lessons in Life and Luxury.
You got to post. You ain't posting.
I know.
You got to post on YouTube.
Been a minute.
And you guys can find me and follow me on all platforms at Xavier C. Miller. That's Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitter, all those things. And you can follow the Millionaire Mindset page as well. And that's all we have for you guys on this episode of Millionaire Mindset Podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
You gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people. If you know they solid, elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gon' talk about it. No Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotions section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.